We're now going to read from God's Word together. We're reading from Mark chapter 5, which is on page 1007 in these green church Bibles. Mark chapter 5, page 1007. And I'm going to start reading at verse 21. When Jesus again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered round him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed round him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body, that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned round in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Do not be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat.
Lord Jesus, we praise you for the power that only you have to lift us from the grave. Thank you for coming down to lead us out of death and to lead us into life that lasts beyond death. Father, help us to rejoice in that and see what great news that is for all who believe in Jesus this morning. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, I wonder, what do you think is the most insensitive thing you could possibly say to a parent who has tragically just been told that their child has died? Have a look at verse 35 and 36. See what Jesus says. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." I think that is possibly one of the most insensitive things you could say to a parent who has just been told moments ago that their child is dead. "Don't worry, keep the faith, just believe, it will be okay." That's what Jesus says to Jairus when he's been told that his 12-year-old daughter has just died. And yet, as we look at this story this Easter Sunday, we're going to see that this is a perfectly appropriate thing for Jesus to say. Because he is the one person that has the power to overturn the painful permanence of death. Jesus is the one person who has power to take the permanence of death and make it temporary, because he offers life that outlasts death. And the one thing I really want us to see from this passage this morning, as we look at Jairus' daughter and the woman who's been bleeding for 12 years, is that Jesus has power over life and death. That's the good news we're going to be thinking about this Easter Sunday. Jesus has power over life and death. Right at the start of the passage, we meet Jairus, who's at the center of this story. He bursts breathlessly onto the scene as soon as Jesus sets foot back in his town. In verse 22, we're told he's the synagogue leader. That means he would have enjoyed quite a certain status in that society. He'd have been known as a powerful person, a somebody. And yet look how helpless and desperate he is in verse 22. He saw Jesus and he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." This powerful man is suddenly powerless. And so he throws himself at the feet of Jesus and he pleads earnestly, "Please heal her. Please help. Please come and make her better." He does what any parent would do. He's willing to go anywhere, do anything, ask anyone if there's a chance it can make a difference to his child. And so imagine Jairus' relief in verse 24 when Jesus agrees to go with him and they set off towards his house with the clock ticking. But strangely, as they set off with crowd in tow, they meet another person. They meet a woman. We're not told her name. She's not seemingly well known or influential, just a face in the crowd. But she too is desperate. She's been bleeding for 12 years in a row. Verse 26 paints a moving picture of her ordeal. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. One short sentence, 12 long years of distress. She's used all her money, seen every doctor in town, and things have only got worse. And actually, it was even worse in those days because to have a discharge of blood meant you were unclean. It meant you had to be excluded, kind of self-isolation, think quarantine, from everyone else. So Jairus was the leader of the synagogue, and this woman wouldn't even have been allowed in. She couldn't have eaten with others. It's probably 12 years since she's last hugged anybody. And yet, she doesn't give up on Jesus. We're told at the end of the story that the child who's been ill is 12 years old. Well, for every year of that child's life, this woman has been in terrible suffering. Yet she comes up to Jesus, verse 27. She comes up behind him in the crowd and touches his cloak because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed." And what happens next, you see, verse 29, is extraordinary. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she'd been freed from her suffering. Do you see the power of the Lord Jesus at work? Just the slightest touch of his clothes, and 12 years of suffering are brought to an end in an instant. Imagine this lady's joy. And then, surprisingly, verse 30, Jesus stops. He knows something's happened. He knows power's gone out from him, and he very pointedly asked, "Who touched me?" And he pauses and he waits for an answer. Maybe you can picture Jairus at this point getting rather anxious, thinking this is taking rather a long time, looking at his watch, tapping his feet, tutting increasingly loudly to make sure Jesus hasn't forgotten. Well, eventually, verse 33, a woman steps forward, knowing what's happened. She's trembling with fear, and she tells Jesus the whole truth. I mean, no wonder she's nervous. Wouldn't you be if something like this had just happened to you? If you've realized that the person who has helped you is no ordinary man, but has exhibited the power of God himself. And do you notice the character of Jesus as he addresses this lady as daughter? He doesn't behave like a vain celebrity and say, who touched me? How dare you? Get behind the security. Jesus calls her daughter, and he chats to her. He makes time for her. Just a face in the crowd, but Jesus singles her out and says to her, daughter, daughter, your faith has healed you. Verse 34, go in peace and be freed from your suffering. But what comes next is then a bit of a jolt from that ecstatic moment. Verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? Verse 34, Jesus says, daughter, you are healed. Verse 35, Jairus is told, your daughter is dead. Daughter, you are healed. Your daughter is dead. The words no parent ever wants to hear. So here's a question to chew over your Sunday lunch. How easy would it have been for Jairus to still have faith in Jesus at this point in the story? Hasn't Jesus made a catastrophic miscalculation? Shouldn't he have gone on that time management course? Because he said he would go. He said he would go and help. And yet he stopped. He took his time with someone else who surely he could have come back to a few hours later. Imagine if you went down to the Worcester Royal Hospital later and there was a patient in A&E having a heart attack and the doctors just left that person alone and walked down the hospital to do a routine hip replacement and then had an extended tea break. What was Jairus thinking at this point? His daughter was dying. She needed Jesus there and then. He said he'd come, and yet he didn't show up. And maybe that is how some of us here this morning feel about Jesus. There was a time in your life when you really needed him. Perhaps a close relative was ill. A friend was in intensive care, and you cried out to him for help. You earnestly pleaded for him to intervene and do something. And you feel like he just didn't show up in time. You prayed, and he delayed. Well, if that's how you feel, have a look at what comes next, because this shows that Jesus hadn't made a mistake. He was in control, and he really did care. He says to Jairus, verse 36, don't be afraid, just believe. I wonder how you would react on hearing those words said to you in a situation like this. Jesus is inviting Jairus to have the same kind of faith that the woman had. In her desperation, she knew Jesus could make a difference. And in a way, Jairus now has grounds to have that kind of faith. Now he's seen a miracle in front of his eyes, and yet the situation has become more difficult. As he finds out that his daughter is dead, what he's asking Jesus to do now is on an altogether more difficult level. Verse 38, change of scene, they came to the home of the synagogue leader, and Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead but asleep. But they laughed at him. It's a tragic scene, isn't it? A community, a family in mourning for the death of a 12-year-old girl. There's zero doubt she had died. The mourners are all witnesses. But that makes Jesus' comment in verse 39 all the more strange. He says the child is not dead, but asleep. He's laughed at, he's mocked for even suggesting the possibility that anything could be done for this child. But the story isn't over. Because in verse 40, Jesus puts everyone out. He took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him. He went into where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Again, do you see Jesus' gentleness, his character, the way he gently takes this little girl by the hand and invites her to get up? And do you see his power? This is not just a chronic disease this time. This is exhibiting power over death itself with just a word and just a touch. And within moments, she's well enough to be walking and eating. No wonder everyone is completely astonished. So as we look at this story, I want us to see that Jesus has power over life and death. But this Easter Sunday, more personally, I want us to see that Jesus has power over your life and over your death. You see, with Jesus, death is not the end of the story. Death does not have the last laugh. Death does not have the final word. However much we might like to sweep it under the carpet, death is a reality for all of us. However much we might like to pretend it's far off, like Chris was saying earlier, one day that shadow will loom over each of us. And by healing Jairus' daughter, Jesus leaves us in no doubt at all. He is in complete control of death. And this Easter Sunday, as we celebrate the anniversary of Jesus himself rising from the grave, we are left in no doubt Jesus has power over death itself. Jesus is the one person who has been through death and come out the other side. The raising of Jairus' daughter, Jesus' own resurrection, they're not conjuring tricks. It's not Paul Daniels or David Blaine. They are showing us who Jesus is, the one with power over death itself. Those words that Jesus speaks to the crowd in verse 39 mean more than we might think at first glance. The child is not dead, but asleep. The Bible often uses this language of sleep to express the temporariness of death. The Bible describes as people who die before Jesus' return as falling asleep in Jesus. And Jesus and the other Bible writers use that language because death is temporary. One day Jesus will say to each of us, "Get up." And one day we will all come face to face with Jesus after our death. And for anyone who has ignored God, spent their life rejecting him, that will be a fate worse than death. And yet it is a fate that anyone who is willing to fall at the feet of Jesus like Jairus needs not fear. Hear the words of Jesus to Jairus. Do not fear, just believe. Do not fear, just believe, for there is life that outlasts death. What I love about this story, what makes it such a powerful story, is the way that Jairus is forced to trust in Jesus when his circumstances are screaming at him to do the opposite. Jairus is forced to trust in Jesus when the immediate events around him are screaming at him that it's too late, that nothing can be done. But Jesus shows us that as followers of him, we do not need to fear death, not because we pretend it won't happen, not because we're burying our heads in the sand, but because Jesus promises that all who fall at his feet can look forward to life that lasts beyond death. Jesus has power over life and death, and Jesus has power over your life and your death. So that leaves all of us here on this Easter Sunday with a decision to make. First of all, we could react like the mourners outside Jairus' home. We can dismiss Jesus. Maybe even laugh at him because his claims jar with our experience of reality. Maybe the good news of Easter just sounds a little too far-fetched to you, too good to be true. Maybe you want to be like the kind of rather defeated people from Jairus' house in verse 35 who come to Jairus and say, "Your daughter's dead, let's not bother the teacher anymore." Maybe you hoped in the past that Jesus would come through to you. You pinned your hopes on him, and he didn't deliver when you needed him the most. And so now you feel like, why bother Jesus anymore? He's had his chance. I'm not willing to hear him out anymore. Well, if that is your temptation to dismiss Jesus or to not take another look at him, can I encourage you this Easter to take a closer look, to take another look at the Lord Jesus and to hear him out? He wants you to bother him. He wants you to listen to him. We've got some little copies of John's Gospels on the tables at the back where you came in. Please do grab one of those if you're a guest here this morning and read for yourself about the life of Jesus and his resurrection. This is to take a closer look at the resurrected Lord Jesus. But the right way for us to respond to Jesus this Easter is to be like Jairus and the woman who come and fall down at Jesus' feet, admitting our helplessness, admitting our desperation, and to trust Jesus not just with your life, but with your death. A few days after his resurrection, Jesus had appeared to his disciples. All of them were gathered in one room and saw him resurrected in the flesh, apart from Thomas, who wasn't there that day. Don't know what he was doing, don't know what he had on that was better and more important than meeting Jesus, but he wasn't available. And in their excitement, the disciples that were there tell Thomas they'd seen the Lord Jesus, they've seen him risen from the dead. And what do you think Thomas says? He says, "Until I see it, unless I see the mark in his side, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, I won't believe." A few days later, Jesus comes and appears to all the disciples again, and this time Thomas is there. What does Jesus say to Thomas? He says almost exactly the same words he says to Jairus. He says to doubting Thomas, "Stop doubting and believe." He says to Jairus, "Do not fear, just believe." He says to Thomas, "Stop doubting and believe." And to anyone here that wants to have the certainty of life that outlasts death, eternal life with Jesus that lasts forever, Jesus says this morning, "Don't fear. Stop doubting. Just believe." So I'm going to lead us in a prayer now that encourages us to do that, to believe in Jesus and look forward to life with him that lasts forever. Let me lead us in prayer as the musicians come up. Heavenly Father, thank you for the risen and reigning Lord Jesus. Thank you for how we see him demonstrate power over death as he raises Jairus' daughter from her deathbed and as he himself rises from the tomb on Easter Sunday. Father, help us to marvel at the Lord Jesus who's alive today and who offers life that outlasts death to any who trust in him. Father, help us not to dismiss Jesus or politely decline to bother him anymore. Help us this morning to fall at his feet, trust him with our life and with our death. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.